Good evening. It's good to be able to come together this evening and to spend some time in the study of God's Word. We just read in Acts chapter 18 about a married couple named Priscilla and Aquila, and we're going to talk about them this evening. They were the couple who were the teammates for the Lord. And whether we're married here this evening or not, I hope that there is something that we can learn from God's Word that will help us be better teammates for the Lord. Of course, you know this evening is the premier sports event, if you're talking about American sports, at least, the Super Bowl. Football, of course, is a team sport, just as is baseball and basketball and soccer. There are team sports. Team sports involve team members that have to work together. And I believe that marriage is like a team sport. It's played best when everybody works together. And when you look in the Bible, I don't believe you can find a better Bible couple than that of Priscilla and Aquila that illustrates the matter of teamwork. And that's what we want to look at this evening. Stop and think about a team sport. You've got the 49ers and the Chiefs playing this evening. What is a team sport? What is that? Well, it requires people working together. There are several elements that are involved there. Think about what it involves in a team sport. First of all, the folks that are out on the field, if it's football, it's 11. You know, if it's basketball, it's 5. If it's hockey, it's 6. If it's baseball, it's 9. No matter how many people are out there on the field, there are some elements that are important. First of all, they have to communicate together. They'll huddle up and the quarterback will call a play. Sometimes he'll call an audible. He'll yell out to the teammate. You gotta communicate. If you're on a team, you have to communicate. The other thing is cooperation. You have to work together. Each person has to be fulfilling their role. And you have to work together and it takes everyone. You know, when you take football, for example, the quarterback tends to get all the attention, or maybe the running back or the wide receiver, but they can't do their job unless all team members are out there. You've got to work together. You've got to communicate. You've got to follow a plan that's called in by the coach. You've got to all be on the same page. For a team to win, there has to be some elements there, and it's the same in marriage. And even for our young people here this evening who are not married, when you go to look for someone to marry, in addition to all of those other things that you might be looking for, just ask yourself, is this person going to be a good teammate to help me get to heaven? Sometimes when you talk with people about getting married or that subject comes up, sometimes a person will say, I'm looking for a soulmate. And we all know what that word means. That means someone who's close to us, someone that we have a deep connection with. But I would suggest this evening, in addition to that, that's a good thing to look for. We need to look for somebody that's a teammate. And when I look in my Bible and I see Priscilla and Aquila, I see that very thing. They are mentioned in the New Testament 6 times, and we're going to look at those times this evening. 3 in the book of Acts and 3 in Paul's epistles. And we're going to find 4 things about them. I was talking with Sherry about this earlier. She reminded me of Sesame Street. You remember you'd watch Sesame Street, the letter of the day? And there would be a letter, and then there would be all these words throughout the episode with that letter. So here's your letter for the day. Today's letter for the day is T. They were tent makers. They were travelers. They were teachers. And they were teammates. Let's look at that life together. If you're still in Acts chapter 18, that's where we're going to begin this evening. In Acts chapter 18, Luke records that Priscilla and Aquila had come from Rome. Claudius, Emperor Claudius, around 49 or 50 AD, expelled the Jews from Rome. We actually have external evidence of this in the Roman historian Suetonius. When he wrote his book, The Lives of the 12 Caesars, he actually mentioned this episode, and so we have extra-biblical evidence confirming what Luke wrote. We don't need that. Luke is accurate in all ways, but Suetonius actually gives confirmation of that. And he says that there was trouble in Rome at this time, and just like about 14 years later with Nero, but Claudius thought the trouble had to do with these Jews, and so he expelled them from Rome. And Priscilla and Aquila come to Corinth in Acts chapter 18, and they were tent makers, the text says. And they did that together. Think about what it would have taken for a husband and wife to work together all day. Lyndia and Reggie Farrier. When COVID hit, you know, a lot of us had to start working at home more, right? So some started working at home. Well, that gives you an extra challenge, right? Think about what it would have taken to work together all day long. Surely patience and maturity would have been a part of that equation. I know what the wives are thinking. They're thinking, there's no way I could work with my spouse all day long. He would drive me nuts. And yet, that's what you find Priscilla and Aquila doing in Acts chapter 18. But before we get to that point, I want us to understand that we need to learn to work together and be faithful even in negative circumstances and not let those negative circumstances hinder opportunities for good. Here you are driven from your home in Rome. And they don't say, well, I give up, you know, I quit, we can't be in our home anymore, so I guess we're just going to quit the rest of our life. Their life is just beginning in Acts 18. And they're going to know Paul for about 17 years. Had they said, well, we quit, there never would have been these six passages that we're going to read tonight. There never would have been the great work that this couple did for the Lord if they had just said, well, I'm going to let negative circumstances hinder me from doing good. So it could be a job loss or a move or you have to travel somewhere, or it could be an illness that you're told about, or there could be a financial problem or a host of other things. Don't let negative circumstances hinder us from opportunities to do good. What a great example in this couple. They were falsely blamed. Claudius had blamed Jews wrongly, just like Nero would do later. But they didn't say we were falsely accused and we're targeted. The Roman emperor is targeting us and he's telling us to leave. I just built this house. I worked hard to live in Rome. Honey, I've always enjoyed the sights of Rome, and I've heard some of you have been there. I've heard some of those sights are pretty. They didn't say, well, you know, we're just going to quit because we can't be in our ideal home anymore. They worked together and they started a life together. They continued that life together, and opportunities are just now opening up for more because they would not let negative circumstances hinder them. And when they come, they are tent makers together. I'm not suggesting that every married couple have the exact same job. That's not what I'm suggesting. That's not the point. The point, however, is in marriage we need to complement each other and support each other, and we can do the same work together, whether inside the home like many people are doing today or outside of it, and we can certainly do the Lord's work together. And when Paul showed up, they let him work with them as well. We need to be, brethren, teammates. Tonight's lesson is very important because we live in a world that is tearing married couples apart. It may not be affecting us, which is great, but it is affecting so many. And you look up one day and you see, well, I didn't know that was affecting brother or sister so-and-so, and it does. It is in the church. It was in my own family. And we all sit from week after week assuming that everything's fine and everything's pretty and everything's glorious. And then you turn around one day and someone that you know very closely has been torn apart by things in the world. So we need lessons from time to time to remind us to stay glued together. So first of all, Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers together, and it was coming out of negative circumstances, and yet they used that very thing to keep going, and that's what caused them to meet the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine what that conversation would have been like, Acts 18:3, working with Paul every day? I would love to work with Paul. Can you imagine the conversations, especially the spiritual conversations that would have gone on? They didn't let negative circumstances hinder their opportunities for good. But come with me now to Acts chapter 18 and just drop down a few verses. After about a year and a half in Corinth, Paul leaves and he takes Priscilla and Aquila with him and they go to Ephesus. Turn with me to Acts 18. And verse 18, Paul, having tarried after this yet many days, took his leave of the brethren. So they're in Corinth and they're leaving that now. And they sailed from there for Syria. And with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And they came to Ephesus and he left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When it came time for Paul to leave Corinth, he took Priscilla and Aquila with them, and they were willing to move once again. They had just left Rome. Now we're going to leave Corinth. Would you do that? Would I do that? Would we make the necessary sacrifices in order to travel and do the Lord's work? They weren't traveling for sightseeing purposes. They weren't traveling for vacationing purposes. They were traveling to help Paul do the Lord's work. They left their home in Rome by force. They left their home in Corinth by choice. And it was all for the cause of Christ. Brethren, this evening, that is a great example for married couples today. Can we do things together for the Lord's cause? Can we travel together for a gospel meeting? Can we travel together for a singing? Can we go visit the sick and the shut-ins together to encourage someone who needs our help? Can we go do that together as a husband and wife? We can, and it's good for us to do that. Can we take time in our busy lives to stop and do the Lord's work together? Marriage is to be a team work. Marriage is to be something where we do these important spiritual things together. We might go to the store together. We might go shopping together. But they were doing the Lord's work together. Can we find some things here at Warfield Boulevard that are part of the Lord's work and go out and do those things together? It's a great team, this Priscilla and Aquila. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. Not only were they tent makers together, and not only were they travelers together for the Lord's work, but they were also teachers together. And when we see that, we find that Christians need to know the scriptures and talk with others about them. Priscilla and Aquila did not have a job that was such that I'm working so hard all day that I can't learn my Bible. I'm working so hard all day that I don't know a thing about my Bible and I don't have any time to talk with anybody else. They were very hard workers in making tents. If you do the study on that, don't think of the modern Coleman pop-up tent, you know, with the neat little rods and all of that. That's kind of pretty, even put one up pretty quickly. They describe it as heavy goat skins that is very difficult to work with, and it's a very hard work. We've got to be careful, brethren, that we're not spending so much time in our secular work
that we don't know our Bibles. And while they're working in a job, they know the Scriptures. And when it came time, as we're going to see here in a minute, to talk to Apollos, they took the Word of God and they taught him more accurately. We need to know our Bibles. And that's what our sermons are for. And that's what our Bible classes are for. When you're hearing things that somebody's presenting to you, take it from this standpoint. That person up there is teaching me something. I'm going to make some notes and things because I want one day to turn around and teach this to somebody else. I want to be able to give this lesson to somebody else. Let's be thinking that way. We don't want the Word of God to come into us and just stop right there. We want it to come into us and then flow out of us to help other people.
So let's look at the third area of this couple. After a short time in Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila are in the synagogue one day and they hear this man Apollos preaching. So let's read Acts 18:24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by race. So he's a Jew and he is in Ephesus from northern Africa, Alexandria. It was founded by Alexander the Great. So you've got these Jews who have come from Rome, and then you've got this Jew coming from Alexandria, and the synagogue is bringing them together. He was an eloquent man. He came to Ephesus. And he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, knowing only the baptism of John. So his information about Jesus was accurate, but it was limited. He needed to know more. He knew some things up to and around the time of John and his relationship to Jesus and so forth, but he needed to know some more things. And so verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. Now, they didn't have to be in the synagogue because they were worshiping under the old law or Judaism. They were Christians. But they were in the synagogue just like Paul was in the synagogue. He used that on Saturday as an opportunity to find people to talk to. And it worked. They get this man off to the side, and they teach him. They took him unto them. Notice how they took the initiative to go talk to him. Notice how they took the time to talk to him. This man needed some correction, and he needed some more accurate information. And so both of them, not just the man, which is typical of us today, well, my husband will go talk with him, or the preacher, or one of the elders. But notice that it was a husband and wife team that went and spent some time in a relationship with a man. Sherry was just telling me this afternoon about a preacher down in Florida that Charles and Bernita had spent some time with, letting him come into their home and train him more and work with him more. And he became a very effective gospel preacher in the Tampa area. And they've done that on more than one occasion. You know Kevin Maxey. Some of you know Kevin Maxey. Kevin Maxey spent a lot of time with Charles and Bernita back in the early 90s training. Okay? Well, look at him now. Kevin Maxey speaks all the time everywhere. He's all the time preaching and teaching. He's a very effective young man. But an older couple had spent some time with him many years ago. And you can do that, and I can do that today. Turn with me to this text again and look at verse 26. The American Standard that I use says that they expounded unto him the way of God more accurately. Your version might say they explained. Look at the word expound with E-X on the front. Look at the word explain with the E-X on the front. We also have the word expose. The word literally means to bring out or to set out the meaning of something. There's your X, explain or expound.
Here are truths in God's Word.
And this couple
brought them out. It's like setting them out so that somebody could see them clearly or understand them clearly.
But we've got to know our Bibles in order to do that. And we can work together well as husbands and wives in order to do that. They cared for Apollos enough to hear him and then help him improve. They didn't write him off. They didn't walk home from the synagogue that, did you hear that, Apollos? That guy, he's pretty good. But he doesn't know anything. Think about what it would take to get with someone, probably younger than you, at Warfield Boulevard, and say, hey, why don't you come over to the house? And let's talk a little bit about the Word of God. Maybe a new convert, right? Something like that. Or somebody who needs some help in some kind of way with regard to the Word of God. Think about the sacrifice. Yes, it would be a sacrifice, but it would be worth it. Think about the love for others that we could show in doing that. No doubt they were patient. No doubt they were understanding. No doubt they were gentle and tactful. You don't, hey Apollos, you idiot. You don't know anything. I'm sure they were tactful. I'm sure they were kind and helpful. But we're going to see in a minute, it was so productive that he's able to go somewhere else, just like Kevin Maxey and others today, going around different places, helping all kinds of people because we help them to grow. Brethren, we can do that today. And I would encourage us to do that as a husband and wife team. Look at verse 27 now with me. After this teaching moment from this great teammate couple, he, Apollos, was minded to pass over into Achaia, where Paul and Priscilla and Aquila had come from, Corinth, in that area, it's in Crete. He's going to go back over there. The brethren in Ephesus encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to receive him, and when he was come, he helped them much that had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. That's because Priscilla and Aquila helped him. He's now able to go somewhere else and do so much good over there. Two things at least, helping the brethren, and number two, debating with the Jews about Jesus being the Christ. Brethren, let's do the same today. We can do the same with the Word of God. We can invite others into our home for a home Bible study. We can, as a married couple, teach a young person's class. We can read the Bible together. We can discuss it together at home. We're studying Isaiah. Honey, did you read that in Isaiah? What do you think about that? That was a great passage, wasn't it? You can read it together and discuss it together and work on your Bible class lesson together. We can talk to other couples who are engaged or young couples who are dating, and we can invite them over to the house and talk with them about the importance of marriage. If we find a married couple that is struggling and they're having troubles, we can invite them over to the house and help them through their marriage problems. We can work together with the children to make sure that the husband or the father is slowly qualifying himself to be an elder or a deacon one day. The wife of the preacher can support him on his preaching travels and trips. Brethren, one way in our marriage is not just for us. A lot of times, and when I was young, I thought, well, you know, marriage is for me. You know, my marriage is for me. That's why I got married. I want to get married. It's for me. Really, it is. There is an element of that. But marriage is not just for me. Marriage is like a lot of other things that God gives us, where we're stewards of good things that He gives us so that we can turn around and bless others with it. And one way we can be really effective and fruitful and influential in our marriages is to take someone like Priscilla and Aquila did with Apollos and help them to be better, to improve. And let's do that. What a great teammate. And as a result, you've got this gospel preacher, Apollos, who went from good to great. And it was because of a married couple who took some time with him and worked with him. I've had people work with me through my life, and I appreciate that. And we can turn around and do that with others. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's learn a few other things this evening about this married couple. We've just surveyed the three places in the book of Acts. Turn with me and let's look at the three places where they show up in Paul's epistles, and then the lesson will be yours. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is writing 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. And he's writing to the brethren back in Corinth. So he's in Ephesus while he's writing this. Look at what he says about Priscilla and Aquila. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia, he was in the Ephesus area, salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Okay, now what are they doing? Now what are they doing as a married couple? They're warm and welcoming, and they're opening up their home so that the church at Ephesus could meet there. What commitment, sacrifice, and hospitality. You stop and think about that. Every week, brethren trampling in and trampling out of your house. I just mopped that floor. They didn't care about that kind of stuff. They knocked over someone knocked over a vase last Sunday when they were meeting, and that didn't bother them. Brethren, they opened up their home to the brethren. And we're going to see here in just a minute that they did it again in Rome. What a great attitude. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 16. This is written just a few years after 1 Corinthians. Paul is winding up his third preaching trip, and he's headed back to Jerusalem to take the alms or the funds to the needy saints, and he writes this book we call Romans. The setting would be like the first few verses of Acts 20. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16. When he's writing this letter, Priscilla and Aquila are no longer in Ephesus. Just a few years later, they had gone back to Rome. Probably what had happened was, by 57 or 58, that problem with Claudius, 7 or 8 years earlier, it was over with, and they went back to Rome. Well, what do they do back there? Let's read the text when Paul is sending these various greetings. Greet, remember, he's writing to the Roman saints in Rome. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, who are there now, they're not in Ephesus. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Look at this. And salute or greet the church that is in their house. Oh, we got the church meeting with them again. Because they're warm and hospitable and sacrificial. And what a great couple. In the first century, brethren didn't meet in church buildings like we have today. That came centuries later. In the first century, they met in homes. Would we have been someone who opened up our home to do that? What a great attitude. Now start with me back in verse 3 of chapter 16. Let's notice a few other things. The text says, salute Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Let's work together in the Lord's kingdom, brethren. Let's work together, husbands and wives, doing things together for the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Let's plan something this week. And it is difficult when we're still working. Those who are retired have a little bit more time. If we're still working, it's a little bit more challenging. We might have to wait till we get off work. But can we plan to do something as a husband and wife together this week? Can we visit someone in the hospital? Can we write something together to someone who is sick to build them up? Put on our thinking caps and do something together. We're a team, brother. We're a team. And what a great example it is for us today. We, in our society today, I'm afraid that married couples are more like roommates rather than teammates. Now, you remember that roommate in college? You're physically in the same room, but you're not really close to them. In fact, I had roommates that I didn't want to be close to. We don't just want to be physically in the same house. We don't want to be roommates. We want to be teammates, where we talk about things together and plan things together and go out and do things together, not just socially or secularly, but also for the Lord's work. Also look at this. Look at verse 4. Who for my life laid down their own necks. Now you underscore that. This married couple, we're not told where. It could have been in Corinth. Acts 18 says that Paul did have people there in Corinth that didn't like him. They took him before the judgment seat of Gallio. It could have been there. It could have been in Ephesus. We know that there was a riot there and so forth. Somewhere, this couple laid down their necks for my life. Put their necks on the line. We would say that today. We don't know what it was, but they sacrificed themselves for the Lord's work. They endangered themselves. They put themselves out there where they would be threatened in some way. Would we do that? We don't want, brethren, a comfortable religion. We don't want a safe, comfortable, I come to a Church of Christ building and do a Church of Christ religion. We want it to be so real that it's us 24/7 and we're going to put our lives on the line for any member that we know of. John says that in 1 John 3, where we lay down our lives for our brethren. What a great couple. Well, if we do such and such, we might get arrested, or I'm staying away from that Paul guy. No. What a great attitude. And we need to have that in our lives today. Look at the next thing. Look at verse 4. Unto whom, that is Priscilla and Aquila, not only do I give thanks, but look at this, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They were so active in the Lord's work that many churches of the Gentiles knew about them and they thanked them. It wasn't just Paul. Paul says, I thank them. But even the churches of the Gentiles are thankful for these people. Brethren, we want to live here at Warfield Boulevard in such a way that when our life is done, somebody says, I am so thankful that brother and sister so-and-so were a part of my life. That's the way you want to live your life. Where somebody else in the church says, I am so thankful that Mark and Levine were in my life. That's what you want. Look at verse 4 again. These brethren are thankful for Priscilla and Aquila. And the way you do that is, the way I do that is, we make memories. We get after it, and we do things for our brethren, whether in our home or not. And we make such an impression as a married couple that people are saying, I am so thankful that brother and sister so-and-so were in my life. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the matter of they opened up their home, verse 5, to the church once again. And on that note, I have personally witnessed this recently in Ghana on my last trip there, and I didn't take time this evening to put their picture up again, but Francis and Gladys Brown. Francis and Gladys Brown opened their home each week to the Sun City Church. That's where Benjamin preaches, whom we support. Each week, multiple times during the week, they open up their home to the Sun City Church, and it has an attendance of about 100. And I've been there when one Sunday it was raining, and they don't have paved sidewalks like we do. They don't have a paved parking lot. Once you leave their house, it's dirt. And it was raining one Sunday, and everybody's tracking in mud. And right after the service, Gladys got some girls, and they started sweeping that floor. A few hours later, people are going to come back. They do it every week. And they love it. They enjoy it. What happened was, during COVID in 2020, all of these brethren and a bunch of other brethren were meeting in what we would call a church building several miles away. Well, they had the thing like we had where local authorities are saying, you can't go do that and this and that. So people started doing more stuff in their homes, and that's how this congregation got started. The Sun City congregation got started because a group of brethren were living in an area. They had traditionally been going to this church building, but Francis and Gladys said, well, we've got our room over here, and there's a little courtyard here, and there's another room over here, and that room had a wall. And they took out the wall, and that is now the little meeting place for the Sun City Church. Gladys and Francis could have said, there's no way. My grown kids, when they come home, that's where they sleep. I can't turn that over to the church. They didn't do that. Well, I've got some hobbies set up in that room over there. I can't take all that down for the breath. No, they took the wall out. And that's where Benjamin and Rita live, in that same little place. There's a room in the back. That's where they live. And I'm telling you, brethren, the church is thriving. They're getting after it. They've got about 50 children right now. 50. And we're helping them with little children's Bible class material. They're getting after it. Because the Browns are sacrificial in part, and one day they want to save up for a building, and they're going to try that one day, but things are slow over there. They don't have a lot. They're going to be at the Browns for a very long time, probably, and they're perfectly happy with that. But brethren, it takes teamwork, and it takes sacrifice, and it takes love and commitment and dedication, and we do it together as husbands and wives. And before I forget, and at my age, I often do, I want to thank again the Carriers for last evening. They opened up their home to many of us, and I so greatly appreciate that. Those of you who saw that saw the work, the sacrifice, the expense, and all of that, so that brethren could spend some time together and be encouraged one with another. Thank you for that. Brethren, let's stay together. The world is trying to tear us apart. If you choose to go home and watch the Super Bowl, you're watching some teams. They cannot win without working together. You and I cannot win in the game of life without staying together, working together, sacrificing together. We are to be one in our marriage. We are to be one in the Lord. We are to be one in our fellowship. We are to be one in our Bible knowledge. We are to be one in our service. When God made Adam, there was one thing in Genesis 1 and 2 where he said it's not good. There's all those verses. Good, 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 very good. One verse that says not good, and that is that it is not good that man should be alone. And so he made a helpmeet for Adam. Her name is Eve, and the first marriage begins. And if you look at Malachi 2, that should be Malachi 2:15. Malachi said he made one couple, so that he might have a godly seed. And let us remember, brethren, 1 Peter 3:7. Speaking of married couples, Peter says, you are joint heirs of the grace of life. Joint heirs. You're joint heirs of the grace of life. We do it together all the way to the end. Well, from time to time this year, I will be talking about Bible couples, and I will be talking about how that those lessons are for us today, and I love Priscilla and Aquila. What a teammate for the Lord. Listen, we are not in competition. Husbands and wives are not in competition. We're on the same team. And let us do that work together all the way to the end. Let's work together. Let's travel to do the Lord's work together. Let's teach someone together. Let's be tent makers and teammates together. For our young people here this evening, you're going to have someone in your mind that you want to date one day, and sometimes it has to do with the way they look, and that's fine. Sometimes it needs to be, are they a faithful Christian? That needs to be at the top of the list. That'll be there. But also in addition to that, it might be things like, well, is he handsome and is she beautiful and all that kind of thing. But be asking yourself the question, when I marry this person, can I be on the same team with them all the way to heaven? If the answer is no, then I need to look for somebody else and keep looking until I find that one that's going to help me get to heaven together. Those of us who are married and have been married for some time, whether we're newlywed or whether we've been married for some time, don't let the world tear us apart. We're on the same team, and the Lord's on our team. And let's keep it that way. There are so many things I don't even have time this evening to go into. All those things that want to tear us apart. Don't let that happen. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. You need to come and put on Christ in baptism, or you need to come back to the Lord in some way. We'd be glad to help you if you'll come as we stand and sing at this time.